So this is the McLuhan Dewline, Volume 1, Number 11, May 1969. And as I've said before, he was in the March 69 Playboy. Allen Ginsberg was in the April 69 Playboy. I don't know who was in the May 69 Playboy. But McLuhan is now, as we saw in the previous one, Breakdowns, Breakthrough, he started to provide a lot of interesting, different spins on things and not just repeating what he was saying in all the previous newsletters. So this one's called Strike the Set. That's STRIKETHESET. So back then, televisions were called TV sets. So people might think of striking their own TV set. So he has a quote from Plato. Any musical innovation is full of danger to the whole state and ought to be prohibited. So around that time, I think I would say the spring of 69, the Fugs, Ed Sanders and Thule Kupferberg and whoever the other guys were, somebody named Weaver, I think, they put out an album and they talked. They used this quote also, how you change the music, then that changes the society. So the San Francisco musical scene is in full bloom by 69, sort of crept up on the world in 68 and then was dominant in 69. So the music has changed. Psychedelic rock has become almost mainstream through FM radio. So McLuhan's talking about this musical innovation is full of danger to the whole state and ought to be prohibited. We played an excerpt from Joe's Garage earlier that was requested by Kim Raymond in Pennsylvania, and she liked that, and I reminded her, I don't think she knew, that Joe's Garage came out in 79 where McLuhan predicted, Zappa predicted that somebody's going to ban music at a certain point. And the month or so that the album came out, Khomeini had just come in power, and he banned all Western music in Iran, and that was a shocker for Westerners, and so it drew attention to Zappa's prophetic album, so-called prophetic album, Joe's Garage, which was a three-album set eventually, a sort of mini rock opera. So you have Zappa dealing with sort of disagreeing with Plato. Plato is going to be paranoid about a musical innovation. So here's McLuhan saying, any musical innovation, and he's also saying we live entirely by music by this point. So music is the new environment. Hardware gadgets, until you get to the digital Android meme, hardware gadgets are not having the effect of the musical content. Musical content is becoming the form in the late 60s. So you're going to do media ecology, you're going to have to deal with the phenomenon of music. If you're going to alter the environments, modulate the environments, you're going to have to deal with musical innovation. So I guess that's a good reason why he has this quote. Any musical innovation is full of danger to the whole state and ought to be prohibited. Okay, so then on page one, McLuhan says, by putting the TV medium around the old package programs, that means content programs, whether of news, soap operas, or thrillers, the TV industry has in effect scrapped the old items. Putting the movies around the novel scrapped that, meaning scrapped the novel. The Miami and Chicago political conventions on TV amounted to the junking of both parties, both political parties. Then he has in quotes the word hot. Hot conventions will not go on a cool medium. Hot conventions, Miami, Chicago, remember they had a lot of violence in the summer of 68 at these conventions in August 68. Hot conventions will not go on a cool medium. A hot war has proven to be even less tolerable on TV. That means the Vietnam War becomes very unpopular quickly on TV. Without awareness of the sensory dynamics of media impact, the brass will never learn what hit them. So he's saying these upsurges of audience preference is shocking the politicians, just like Donald Trump is shocking everybody playing beyond the rules. You could say the TV body today has flipped and likes hot confrontational non-cool situation because it's not the cool ground anymore. The internet's the cool ground for the web. So without awareness of the sensory dynamics of media impact, the brass or the management, higher management, will never learn what hit them. Then he has another paragraph in a different typeface on page one. As the dominant news service environment for packaging information, TV is effectively scrapping the press and magazines, as well as the educational, the military, and political establishments. Like the big metropolitan areas, they have become garbage. Garbage means literally old clothing. Old clothing, hyphenated. Then you go to page two. Everybody has the right to defend his own ignorance, so nobody seems to have a monopoly on ignorance of the effects of media as packaging materials. John the 23rd, that's the Pope, he wasn't the Pope at this point. John the 23rd's dreams of ecumenism were, you know, the ecumenical movement. John the 23rd's dreams of ecumenism, and notice he doesn't say Pope John the 23rd, he just says John the 23rd's dreams of ecumenism were packaged by 19th century bureaucrats. The result is the exact opposite of what they intended. While retaining the old Gothic nave of traditional church architecture, in brackets, a long aisle focusing attention on the high altar, close bracket, the bureaucrats have placed a table in front of the altar nearer the congregation. Intersecting the nave at right angles, this supposed, quote, addition, unquote, completely transforms the space of the church. When the priest faces the congregation, the effect is one of total distraction under these conflicting spatial conditions. Perspective is replaced by diffusion. Focused meditation is impossible. Then he has a second paragraph with a different font. The situation is parallel to the ignorant and disastrous procedures of the TV establishment in trying to involve as highlighted, the viewing public. Total ignorance of the properties of so powerful a form as TV can quickly undermine all the institutions of a country. It is not only the Smothers Brothers that are being smothered. The Smothers Brothers were censored, became controversial, and they were the show. No, that was Laughing. So the Smothers Brothers are. So here's McLuhan in 1969 is heating up his own coolness. He's getting hot, getting pissed off. He was rather casual about LSD in 65 and 66, but in 69, his book Counterblast, he blasts LSD as chemical warfare in the population. So here he is getting pissed off at the slight furniture arrangements in the Catholic Church. So then you go to the next page, page three, and this is what he has, a different font. As information becomes the major commodity, and as the knowledge industries begin to dominate the world, all forms of hardware become garbage or junk. And they are, in quotes, garbage and junk. Daniel Boorstin's book, The Image or What Happened to the American Dream, is an account of the scrapping of most contemporary institutions from news to education. Boorstin hasn't a clue as to the formal causes. And you hardly ever see McLuhan pointing out, using the word formal. And he has it italicized. But you had Aristotle's four causes, and McLuhan later in the 70s would point out that everybody was dealing with managing program content. That's efficient causality, and ignoring the effect of the environment on other media. That's formal causality. So here he is. He's not telling anybody where he gets the term formal cause, so you've got to have a certain philosophical education to even know what he's saying. But he says, Boorstin hasn't a clue as to formal causes. He bangs away at degradation of content. And then there's a joke. I don't know if this is a joke that Boorstin recommends or McLuhan's joke, but it says, an admiring friend, quote, my, that's a beautiful baby you have there. The mother says, oh, that's nothing. You should see his photograph. So there's that joke. And then McLuhan says, this kind of moralizing on Boorstin's part fogs the issues and prevents help from ever reaching the victims. Every time a new technology creates a new service environment, it engulfs or surrounds the preceding service environment created by the older technology. The effect is to strike the set. Strike the set's in quotes. And he says, to use the language of the theater. So the environment or the setup of a previous hidden ground gets gets sidelined by a new hidden environment. So that's how he's using the phrase in this paragraph. To strike the set is inevitable if you bring in a new technology. When print was the new environmental technology, the, quote, medieval set was struck, unquote. The presses discord masses of old manuscripts and dump the whole of the past, ancient and medieval, as it were, into the Renaissance lap. Say that again. The presses disgorged masses of old manuscripts and dump the whole of the past, ancient and medieval, as it were, into the Renaissance lap. And it's another paragraph, but not a different font. It says, today the retrieval power of electric information is so great that it doesn't dump the past, but the present into our contemporary laps. The retrieval power of electric information is so great that it doesn't dump the past, but the present into our contemporary laps. As Renaissance man was swamped by the garbage in quotes, or old clothing of antiquity, contemporary man is engulfed by the garbage of all the backward societies of the planet, as well as with all the cultures that ever existed in the world. Now, I'm going to mute Bert. Is that you, Bert? Are you an anonymous?
Yes. And it's Bert.
Bert, great. And Roxana, that's you. Do you guys have any comments so far? Anything you want to say?
That last part, Bob, can you reread that? That last part? I was trying to get some notes on that. That was
the past and the present. Today, the retrieval power of electric information is so great that it doesn't dump. Remember, books dump the. I'll read the book part first. When print was the new environmental technology, the medieval set was struck. That's the world of manuscripts and endless counting the number of angels on the head of a pin. You know, very involved dialectical disputation. So the printing presses, disgorged, you know, pumped out masses of old manuscripts and dumped the whole of the past, ancient and medieval, as it were, into the Renaissance lap. But the electric information... Today, the retrieval power of electric information is so great that it doesn't dump the past, but the present into our contemporary laps. Now, the present would be the older content, movies, magazines, books, shows, whatever you consider the content of television. That's the present, so to speak. But the endless 24/7 of the TV environment continuing to broadcast cancels out and changes the present constantly, so that the programs are a bit more solid. They're around as garbage. They become the present dumped into our contemporary laps. Is that what you were interested in?
Yes. I would like to comment on that.
Yes.
Like in the rewrite you played, Ian says the whole Gutenberg galaxy made these degrees of separation even more strong.
Yeah.
And what he's saying about the formal cause, the purpose, and there's the efficient cause and the final cause. This is what we are trying to understand. And the thing is, there is this orgy of information that is not like in other times people will try to understand the past.
Yeah,
we have the impression that we don't even understand what's going on now as it's going on.
Right. And yeah, go ahead. Or did you finish?
Yes, and as I was listening to the rewrite, and now I was thinking about these causes, the formal cause, the efficient cause, the final cause, that we didn't even knew, for example, the formal cause of the body is the cells. But until now, we know that like the strong bond or the most important thing was the iso. And this is... Or for example, he says we live by music, and until now we understand that the frequency is the thing that is altering the hologram.
Right. Okay, let me respond to that. The remember he said the instant replay was a dramatic metaphysical confusion for contemporary people by 1970, where they would have the meaning of the experience before the actual experience. Now, you can look at movies, books, newspapers as instant retrievals, their packaging, this archiving, and the archival media become the key to the present because you can't measure the TV 24/7 flood of tactile mosaic, which doesn't stop. So it's you were saying we don't even know what's going on. We don't even know what is part of the past because TV makes everything part of the present, makes everything be part of the instant replay. So even the sense of our present is altered by this amazing tactile simultaneous environment. So is that what you're trying to say, Roxy?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. So with that in mind, let me reread and listen to that. So he says, today the retrieval power. So, it was a big deal for the printing press to retrieve the old manuscripts, but we got many kinds of retrieval, tape recorders, movies, radio, TV, and computers by the mid-60s. So you have the squaring and cubing of the retrieval aspect itself, right? So that's where it gets difficult about what the fuck is, what's new. Remember that joke McLuhan used to tell? The guy walks into the antique store and says, what's new? And the Renaissance guy says, the antique dealer says, nothing, it isn't out yet. Like they could even know what was coming. But it would still be old stuff.
Yeah.
They were like one step back.
Yes, you said, McLuhan said, the newspaper is like every day, it's an epic, presented
epic
every
novel.
Day. It's like an odyssey every day. Before people will learn these stories and tell them to other generations and repeat them again and again and again. And now every day we have a lot of news, which we think is the truth, but we cannot also be sure if it's manipulated information or what. If what they're saying is truth or not, and that adds to this problem of the formal cause of knowing what's true, what's the thing.
Right. So as you say this, you have Lamartine in 1830. So the poets are very sensitive about communication because they're communicators. So they're watching the changes. They're actually concerned about what is being communicated. So in 1830, he says the book arrives too late because the newspaper, beat it every day. And then he says by the end of the 19th century, he projects ahead, the newspaper will be this huge, dominating situation, even worse. So some of these poets started to notice and be Orwellian 50 years before Orwell, or sort of see something tremendous is going on here for human communication. So, so you were saying it was something about in the 19th century, Mallarmé and these guys are taking on this inhuman communication over extension. So when you talk about how devastating the Android meme is and how it's not even talking to humans, you can see Joyce and them were seeing that's already happening in the analog media phase with radio. And so if you look at Finnegan's Wake, it's just, in the sense, it's a simple book. He's saying, this is what's coming, information overload. And it just took 17 years and piled all the Encyclopedia Britannica information and plowed it into the book to mime the fifth horseman of information glut. You could see, go back.
And I think that's the great thing you're reporting, because when we want to know what's the formal cause, the efficient cause or the final cause of anything, there are many things that we might not know or consider, even like, for example, LaRouche, he knows a lot about everything, but he doesn't have the information you have about
formal causality.
How things, about how things are really, the real formal cause of things.
Right.
And the efficient cause of things and how these things are affecting each other. Like, this is the thing we have been talking today, how the chemistry that we're not aware of is affected by the media and the environment and our bodies and all this, the hand that is making the hand at the same time, all these formal causes are affecting each other at the same time. But it's very
right.
hard to see if you don't have this information.
Perceptual training. If you don't have the perceptual training in the way Marshall says the real artist offered.
Yes, and we became actually viewing public before TV. Like the Bible says, your eyes will be open. And since we could see the tree of knowledge, we became viewing public. And we had been
right.
engaging media. And this has been affecting the formal cause, the efficient cause, and the final causes of the things in the world. But it was very hard to really understand these processes because of the, like in the chart of the perfect cell. There
yes.
are so many levels, and that's just one cell being represented. And we can see that the amount of information and layers that are in this one chart of one perfect cell. And then we can go to our bodies and the environment, and then it's really impossible without IAM to understand the real efficient cause.
Right. Now, you mentioned viewing. He writes, the situation is parallel to the ignorant and disastrous procedures of the TV establishment in trying to involve the viewing public. He puts viewing in quotes. Do you know why he puts viewing in quotes?
Because things are projected on us.
Yeah, visual bias. And it's the participatory public. The public is the employer. The public's in charge. They make the response. And they're not even a public anymore. They're a mass situation, which is simultaneous. So in trying to involve the viewing, so you understand why viewing is visual. It's not really a viewing public. It's a more involved. The public is already involved, and they try to involve the audience, well, you could start to say, by making TV more pornographic. They think that involves the public. But the public's already involved with televisionism on the formal level of what media does, what television does to you. You have
yes,
to make the image.
Ian said in the regret you played before, we are more gods that we are aware of. And, for example, you're doing this regret, and it's affecting, for example, the TV programs and other things in the environment.
Right.
Or, like... McLuhan said, the changes in the music changes the society. It's this type of viewing of phenomena that seem not to be related with each other, but are affecting one another. That
yes.
Makes this whole process of the media and ecology so fascinating, because you are going beyond, much more beyond that anybody before in what you can see as the causes.
Right. Now, he said back in 1964, McLuhan was interviewed. That's right when the Beatles were starting to have a big effect. And he said, nowadays we have children affecting world consciousness. And we've had many types of younger people since then affect world consciousness. So I had to sit there and study these Rumpelstiltskins of all levels of age, but especially young people, for 40 years so that we could come in with the bigger, more powerful effector of consciousness, which is ION. So we watched the Beatles, we watched Zappa, we watched Bob and Connie just watch from their lonely wooden tower. That's Leonard Cohen's song about about Suzanne or something, right? He watched from his lonely wooden tower. So we watched from the Martello Tower, which Ulysses begins with. You know, Buck Mulligan and Stephen are up in the tower. And I talk about it on the recent video with Roxy. And but that other line from John Wesley Harding came out around the same time. Two riders came approaching. Remember that? And the wind began to howl. Beautiful, beautiful imagery of what Roxy's saying. Bob and Connie did. We watched for 40 years from our lonely wooden tower. And then we came in with the biggest, best top 40 hit that anybody could ever have on the medical level. And then the energy level. So I appreciate Roxy realizing the magnitude of the alchemy after watching all these other puny Rumpelstiltskins throughout the 20th century. What is interesting now is that nobody was changing anybody for maybe the last 20 years. Let's see. So they let hip hop appear to be changing everybody, and because media was only affecting people, not the chemical body, it frustrated every chemical body group. So now they're just so pissed off they want a Donald Trump. They're celebrating the Rumpelstiltskin style with him. Right? Any comment?
Appears to be, yeah. From what I read.
So, okay.
Yes.
Right. So the anti-environment to that is change on a level that's not recognized as normal secular change. So there is no, the chemical body is not changing anything. It's been sidelined. So what is changing us today? Something from another world or another dimension. That can be the only cause of the continuing upset pattern of striking the set.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's what makes it special with ION talking. I mean, it's the word music that ION plays with when we engage him on payday. That's the new music.
That's right, the new song. And it can't be Plato's pleasant music. It has to be mean and, what did he say? Mean and rogue. Mean and rogue music. Well, eventually became that. So the retrieval power of all these different media are piling on each other. So he says, today the retrieval power of electric information is so great that it doesn't dump the past, but the present into our contemporary laps. So it means that we're not in the now anymore. The present is the art form that's dumped in people. As Renaissance man was swamped by the garbage or old clothing of antiquity, contemporary man is engulfed by the garbage of all the backward societies of the planet, as well as with all the cultures that ever existed in the world. A massive retrieval thing going on. So that's what you wanted to hear, right, Bert?
Yes.
Okay. So anything else to say, or shall I go on to the next part?
You can go on.
Okay. Here we go. I'll mute you guys. So, a recent letter from the anthropologist E.S. Carpenter, that's Ted Carpenter, includes notes on another aspect of this striking the set in quotes, that occurs with every technological change. So here's Carpenter. Let's see. How long is this letter? It's italicized. So it goes two pages. Now, we were talking earlier about how Carpenter, someone pointed out that Carpenter was a big influence on McLuhan. So here he is quoting Carpenter, and Carpenter's talking about, it looks like, his L.A. experience, because that's where Carpenter was living in the late 60s before he went to Papua New Guinea. So Carpenter says to McLuhan, there's a huge surplus warehouse in Los Angeles of military gear, etc., available to state educational institutions, hospitals, etc., for mere handling costs. Whenever a military base closes, the armed forces take what they need elsewhere, but abandon the bulk of the material, which often means entire towns with hospitals, homes for married couples, tanks, ships, etc., etc. All this is then transferred to the nearest state surplus warehouse, and colleges and hospitals pick it over, everything from bathtubs to cement. Some imaginative playground teacher could outfit a fabulous playground, colon, great control units from heavy ships where you sight through telescopes, spin wheels, crosshairs, move, platform shift, etc., amazing electronic affairs, etc., etc. Cost per unit to government, $137,500, so almost a tenth of a million. Available in unlimited numbers, $4.99. Takes a crane to move one. So it's saying cost per unit to the government is $137,500, but available unlimited numbers, it's only $4.99. But it takes a crane to move one. So then Carpenter says, yesterday I saw a guy push out a fantastic affair. Looked like the IBM panel board for the moonshot, covered with dials and pointers and lights. Asked him what it was. The guy says, I haven't a clue. I'm an artist. It costs $2, unquote. Where once swords could be beaten into plowshares, now electronic equipment can be converted into art or toys. Apparently, there's no other function for the stuff. The pop artists around here go there for inspiration and material. So let me just unmute that part. Bert got knocked off. Okay, so Bert and Roxy, what do you think of that? This guy is pushing out a huge IBM panel board looking like something for the moonshot, covered with dials and pointers of lights, and Carver says, what is that thing? He says, I haven't a clue. I'm an artist. It costs $2.
Yes, and I mean, all our creations, when we say when we look at contemporary art, for example, some of it is really like garbage, and many really discuss what is art. I mean, and what is trash? What is worth to be kept? And is it anything worth keeping from the fallen state, or is it like in this title says everything going to be turned off and counter blasted, para blasted?
So you have today people don't know where to store their money, what's safe. Even their valuable garbage, they don't know where to put it. They don't know what is trash and what's treasure in the long run. So the artists were miming this 40 years ago. They would probe with garbage. It might mean something. And that's the problem in the economy in 2008. Nobody knew what was constant anymore. Too much garbage being made. Garbage wealth.
Yes, and things being obsolete so fast.
Right.
Like the obsolescence of the products is already programmed so that you consume more, and things are being made with less and less quality so that you consume more and more, and more trash is being produced, and for example, it's absurd the quantity of water bottles that are produced.
Well, McLuhan called it in 1970 the garbage apocalypse. That could be the fifth or sixth horseman, the garbage refuse. So much new environments are being made and then scrapped. So he talks about the scrapping in the next part. So let me read that. The American dream, the scrapping of which is lamented by Daniel Boorstin, consisted of the technology of the open road. Open and road are capitalized. Our roads were the greatest architectural feat in human history. The goals were unlimited and yet visible. Today we have transformed not only America, but the moon into a garbage dump by the simple expedient of encapsulating it. Our own planet was scrapped as soon as it became enclosed by a ring of satellites. Every time a new environment goes around an old one, the old one becomes a midden heap. Midden heap was a key image in Finnegan's Wake. Throughout the ages, men have built their cities one on top of the other, one world burrowing on another and borrowing from all the others. The scraps left over from previous cultures become the props of the new one. It is the technique of the poet at all times. As Mr. Eliot indicates in his poem, The Wasteland, quote, "These fragments I have shored against my ruins," unquote. The fragments, in quote, fragments are in quote, the fragments were carefully culled from all the cultures and ages and arts of mankind. That's what Eliot did with The Wasteland. That's what Joyce did with Ulysses. And then Joyce did it again with Finnegan's Wake. And then you have Pounds doing it with the Cantos. These vortices were turning garbage into an art form. They would cull data from all over the world. So these fragments were carefully culled from all the cultures and ages and arts of mankind. But, I put in the but, electronic man has instant access to all the cultural garbage or clothing of past times. So the vortices were miming the fact that garbage was going to become an art form, and that was anticipating that syndrome of creating of endless garbage. It doesn't mean it's messy garbage. McLuhan pointed out that someone will pick up a newspaper, and if it has yesterday's date, he'll throw it away. You want today's newspaper. So electronic man has instant access to all the cultural garbage or clothing of past times. So you can see why Joyce would ransack the Encyclopedia Britannica to just pour garbage into the book container. And McLuhan quotes the phrase, to burrow, Joyce wrote this, to burrow and to borrow and to barrow, barrows like wheelbarrow. So in the next page, in a different font, McLuhan says, the function of art is to enable man to relate to the present. The Chinese phrase is, quote, make it new, unquote. New art is made by invading the old arts and ravaging them for materials for the new forms. Quote, to burrow and to borrow and to barrow is Joyce's phrase for the process of perpetual junking and recreating of man's life, private and corporate. So let me open the phone again.
There is, for example, this thing with a plastic spoon.
Plastic what?
Like a plastic spoon. The effort necessary to extract the old from the ground and refine it and then make the plastic and then make the spoon and then send it maybe from China to America to a store and make the ads and buy it and bring it home. I mean, we engage all this process instead of washing a spoon. You know, we buy a plastic spoon and throw it away. And all this process behind the plastic spoon is creating so much contamination and garbage. And we might prefer to do that instead of washing a spoon. I mean,
Let me give you the formal cause of that would be, since the satellite scrapped the whole planet, that makes all the older environments not as polluting. So everybody creates litter. everybody throws the older environments away, because if you scrapped everything with the satellite going around the planet, that means it's not a big problem or no guilt syndrome to scrap the little objects. That's why they throw away the spoon. Right? He's saying, McLuhan's saying, this is like Rai returning essence. We've taken our terrestrial environment and scrapped it by putting a ring of satellites around the planet. Now, that's a pretty dramatic statement. But the littering that takes over, and what you're taking, the casual throwing away of spoons, you can see that's the old chemical body imitating the new environment, which was a heavy scrapping action.
Yes, or drinking bottled water that is actually bought from the cities and very cheap and is the same water and it's just bottled and sold much more, at a much more higher price.
Now, McLuhan said that he figured out what the identity of the cognitive process of creation. So he's explaining that all creativity was always taking the past, the what was not noticed, and bringing it back with a new pattern or new insight. So the scrapping process was taken over by technology and then the Android meme. The scrapping is what being an artist, that's what it means by being an artist, taking what is not noticed, not valued, and putting significance to it. So the environment
right,
does
but,
that.
We've come to a point where, in which the amount of garbage being created, for example, in a city like Mexico City, tons and tons every day, they cannot be processed. And trash is being dumped on the seas, or it's being sent, for example, a lot of radioactive garbage from America is stored in the desert in the frontier with Mexico, or the electro trash of Europe is sent to Africa.
Right.
Like some places, some poorer countries are becoming the dumped garbage dumps of
yeah.
Industrialized creators.
Well, what about the idea that we don't stop the pollution? We try to control it reasonably, but could get really out of hand if it's not already. Is that we are miming the creative process by throwing stuff away? We're being artists by creating dumps.
Yes, I mean, on the one side, it's amazing. For example, the process behind a plastic spoon, it's amazing the amount of creation behind this very banal thing. But maybe, like you mentioned once, we need these new materials that, like the plastic,
yeah,
that won't be affecting the environment. And well, I suppose as an offended person, this type of pollution is not relevant anymore. Like it's not affecting you,
right.
Radiation or any other type of metals. And
yeah, to solve the garbage process. Which is, I mean, we supposedly convert junk DNA. That's a major achievement to bypass the junk process. I mean, Ian said the radiation, very dangerous junk, not a problem. I mean, that's really flipping things. People find out that what they thought was garbage isn't garbage.
Yes, and what you mentioned about the junk DNA is also one of the formal causes that we could not see before, like scientists thought there is this DNA that is just junk, it doesn't have any function, but it's because the strands are not activated with the chromosome 14, so they're not being used, and they're not trash. But
yeah, that's right.
This type of formal cost could not be seen before because they had not knowing about the ISO.
Yeah, they the one thing they call junk, they don't treat it as junk. They just ignore it. Everything else they treat as junk but don't name it. They just pile it up. Bert, do you have a pattern here that you want to say? Are you on there? Are you one of the anonymouses, Bert? Let's see. No, I don't see. I have the two anonymouses.
But then we can also talk about, for example, for Islam, I think they think the world was created not a long time ago, and all the older creations are like creations from the devil. So they
right.
destroy old Buddhist statues, or in Palmyra, there was a lot of destruction lately in that area, and things that we may consider high art are under these other values, trash, not valuable.
Yeah. Okay, so let me go on to the next paragraph. So in a different font, it says, the function of art is to enable man to relate to the present. So this is the crisis in art. How do you relate to the present with the present made up of art? When there's so much art around, or garbage, then you can't determine what is art. The Chinese phrase is make it new. Well, we're always making it new. New art is made by invading the old arts and ravaging them for materials for the new forms. That's to burrow and to borrow and to barrow. That was Joyce's phrase for the process of perpetual junking and recreating of man's life, private and corporate. Then in the next paragraph, with a different font, the garbage aspect of our lives was never more evident than now, simply because of the rapidity of technological innovation. Each innovation of new materials or processes scraps the old arrangements, releasing all of their components for a retrieval in new patterns. The young today sense that the world itself has become an affluent garbage dump, the ideal playground. They have fittingly responded by garbing themselves like old clothes men who used to drive, quote, Reagan bone carts through our cities. Yeats understood very well how deeply man is involved in this garbage situation in his poem, A Coat. And he then quotes the poem. I made my song a coat covered with embroideries out of old mythologies from heel to throat. But the fools caught it, wore it in the world's eyes as though they'd rot it. Song, let them take it, for there's more enterprise in walking naked. Then the next page, McLuhan says, the moment that any breakthrough in perception or style occurs, in industry or entertainment, it rapidly transforms the perception of the entire public. At that point, the inventive or exploratory artist is finished with it and casts it aside. As soon as the public puts on his new garb, he prefers to, quote, walk naked, unquote. Presumably, this is the difference between the entrepreneur and the bureaucrat. The bureaucrat, the latter, has no objection to wearing the old garb of obsolete operations. The language is full of phrases that indicate his plight. For example, quote, stuffed shirt, unquote, old hat, that's in quotes, etc. It is useful to understand, then, why Yeats argues that old garbage is the matrix for all creative activity. It is the theme of this poem, no, it's the theme of his poem called The Circus Animal's Desertion. Today, one of the paradoxical results of the globe becoming a kind of garbage dump or midden heap of all the cultures that ever were is that creativity has burst upon us in a kind of deluge. Anything less than creativity is repudiated at once as irrelevant classification and packaging. Yeats depicts the stages by which he, quote, did his thing, unquote, inventing style after style and discarding them successively as they had served Inventing style after style and discarding them successively as they had served their purpose, he reflects upon the entire process of creation. And McLuhan quotes this, "Those masterful images, because complete, grew in pure mind, but out of what began? A mound of refuse or the sweepings of a street, old kettles, old bottles, and a broken can, old iron, old bones, old rags, that raving slut who keeps the till. Now that my ladder's gone, I must lie down where all the ladders start, in the foul rag and bone shop of the heart." Then in different font, McLuhan says, "The ladder to the high wire for the public balancing act, the new artistic sensation or stylistic innovation, must begin in the mound of refuse," that's in quotes, "or the foul rag and bone shop of the heart," that's in quotes too. Then, the next page, McLuhan says, "All of the great epic poems of the Western world, from the Iliad onward, have concerned the wastelands of broken cities and civilizations, which the poet subjects to a process of rehabilitation. Thus, the creative process is a breakthrough that must begin in breakdown, whether in religion or in art or in politics or in commerce or education." There is a bizarre example of the total process that is being reviewed here in Owen Wister's novel, The Virginian. This novel is perhaps the first classic of the Western, you know, the cowboy novel. The hero gets off the train in the Wild West and watches the train recede backwards into civilization. The railway created the Wild West and the American dream of the open road. It created Bonanza Land. It was a new technology that created a new environment that quickly scrapped or supplanted the old civilized environment. Next page. Let's see what how many pages this is. "The new technological environment that made possible the Wild West was not so much the railway as the tin can." And this is in the same font as the previous page. "The world of the cowboy was built on canned goods. The most important items in the cowboy's kit were canned tomatoes and canned sardines, as Owen Wister explains. The canned tomatoes provided drinking water, and the sardines provided protein. The Wild West rests on a solid foundation of empty tin cans. These will be excavated someday by enterprising archaeologists. The same tin cans, however, were actually provided by a man who was to become the most famous archaeologist in the world, Herr Schliemann. Schliemann made a fortune providing tomatoes and sardines for cowboys. He then used his fortune to dig up the garbage dump of ancient Troy." All right, I'll take a break.
Wow,
so
that's quite interesting.
Yeah. A lot of new patterns there. So which part are you talking about, the tin can?
Well, he's producing a lot of trash, and with the fortune he creates, actually he goes and
looks up the ancient literate trash. He's valuing literate garbage, or the content, the stories of literacy. The poem, the Iliad.
Yes, and it's very interesting how we can retrieve a lot of information from ancient trash. Tell us a lot about those societies.
Well, good conversation. People recycle notions and assumptions. Good conversation is people pretending they're getting an insight from the garbage that your friend is circulating in front of you.
But I think we're in this turning point when the whole environment is going to be turned off, and a lot of the population has decided to commit suicide, it's like,
well, that gives me an idea, Roxy. Listen,
a lot is being erased.
Right, and so if the chemical body is irrelevant, it's old-fashioned garbage. It's not the new garbage that we experience in our inbox every day. That would mean that a huge scrapping. So the logical end point of this is the scrapping of humanity and a massive die-off. That was always anticipated by the scrapping of individual artifacts, but finally humanity gets scrapped. That's, I had a thought from something the other day, the scrapping of everybody. So it's logical that there'd be a die-off. This is the cliched archetype process. Cliche means you take garbage and turn it into an archetype, and you put it in a new context. So striking the set is what creativity is. So they don't teach, you have to realize this is McLuhan defining the creative process. He said he figured out what is the cognitive process of creativity. And, you know, a lot of universities today are doing research, you know, in-depth computer genetic engineering into the brain and how cognition and creativity happens. It's the most common factor of life.
He said something I also found very interesting, that for an artist, when the people know, the mass public get to know about the art of famous artists, it's usually for him an old process. It's already obsolete. What the people consider the new innovative art is for these creatives already passé.
Right, and it's interesting how the art critics, the art world, ignored McLuhan's, you know, finding the holy grail of being able to explain the garbage process of creativity. It's interesting how his important insight is not paid attention by the art world. Now, I'm just reading a new article on Laurie Anderson. She's doing this pretty interesting project I posted on my Facebook. But she said the art police in the galleries. She called the gallery system as art police. And she says, I call myself a multimedia artist. And she says, it says nothing. Everybody is a multimedia artist or a multimedia person today. Then she says, I just use the term so I can make movies, TV shows, and jump around and do all this kind of stuff, which very, you know, greatly annoys the art police of the art world, she says. So this is Lou Reed's, the late Lou Reed's widow. I recommend you read her article. She is going to put next week, I say, maybe about a week from now, is going to put a Guantanamo guy taken in when he's like 14 and misidentified and then tortured everything for 8 years, and finally he got released. But he wants to, she's going to project his image into this room, and where he will discuss what he observed at Guantanamo. And so, but all the time she's going through this, she's going through agony as she hears the stories of what this guy had to say about Guantanamo and what happened to other prisoners and this and that. So she's having a real trauma. Most people don't think creativity is a result of an identity crisis or a trauma, unless you're an artist. Then you know that, but the environment has become a huge traumatized artist, having a huge identity crisis. Oh, I forgot. We solved it. Sorry to bring up these old issues. I'm getting lost in the garbage of the problems of the old days. Well, okay, so you have anything to say, Bert? As
no,
Sheldon, you haven't said anything yet, Sheldon. What? Come on, say something.
Hey, I got disconnected. Skype was acting weird because I was trying to talk, so I called back in.
Yes.
The first part that you said, breakthrough in perception changed the entire public. That's what's taking place now with Payday, although a lot of people are not aware of that, because with the engagement of you and Ion on Payday and just all the other folks who call in, that's changing a good portion of the population, or just a small portion, but it's changing the entire environment
of what it means to communicate.
Yeah.
Right, and the creation of art, the environment becomes the art form.
Yeah.
And I think for the first time, you're obsoleting humans. Like
yes. Yeah, yeah, but Ion is marching along the Armageddon and the apocalypse and mirroring it, but putting a positive spin on what the Armageddon's claiming is a disaster, right? The Armageddon said, we're going to wipe you out. You're going to have nobody. You're going to be wandering around in blood, and you won't be able to raise. You won't be able to have kids anymore. And Ion's going on, yeah, isn't that great? So Ion is an art critic commenting on the global disaster turning into an art form. So Ion is an art critic. I mean, this is, you know, people, you see this in Berlin, all these people trying to make anything into an art form to get attention. Well, you couldn't get anything as preposterous as Ion if you interpret Ion as a modern art critic, which nobody's doing, right? You don't see art form calling up Ion to interview him about the art world. But he is the biggest art critic going, as we define it here, as garbage apocalypse. Now, you said someone wanted to interview you, Roxy. Is that going to happen?
Well, somebody knocked a while ago, but I didn't open the door because I'm so tired and I'm so...
didn't open the door.
I'm still in my pajama and I don't want to be interviewed like this.
Well, did you tell them to come over?
No, I just told him I was going to be here, but we didn't make like a formal appointment. So,
he came, but you didn't know you'd be tired, but you were, and so you didn't answer.
Yes, because.
What did they want to interview you about?
About electronic music in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
There is a big festival called Contacte.
Right. Well, you've gotten a whole bunch of new material. You could redefine electronic composing. And did you notice that Carpenter in that lecture was talking about the difference between electronic composing and the old symphonies? We even have that covered.
Yes.
But you could talk if you could memorize some of this stuff or really get it so you can just spew it off naturally. You could make a very interesting interview.
Yes, maybe we'll do it tomorrow. I'll call him when I get dressed.
Yes. No, okay, yeah. So the next pair. Okay, let me just mute.
This,
just
like, so this is amazing that the trash being generated now by the old environment is little man, actually.
Right.
It's like, that's in right. Mexico, the amount of mass graves is impressive. It's like there is no more value in human life. It's like
it's obsolete garbage. Everything always was garbage, but humans are now chemical body is obsolete garbage. We don't.
Yes, and I think that was already being seen as this whole thing about the robots replacing humans was a meme in culture and the transhumanism that people thought we are going to evolve into this hybrid of technology and chips the evolution is not going in that direction. It's the ISO. It's organic. It's not
right.
Hardware.
Right. Ion changes the meaning about what is garbage. Now, that's a key source of Ion's humor, is that people come in with natural assumptions about what is garbage, and Ion is always contradicting that. You get that, Bert? It's contradicting your notion of garbage.
Yes, it's just the whole fact it helps feed sewage. That's what... A way to change the person's mind or contradict what they think. When Ion always tells people to eat garbage, it's good for you. Eat sewage.
Right.
Okay. Yes, or that everybody dies because they want to commit suicide, or that somebody's sick because they created that. It's very hard. It's really like tough to accept that it's really. strong to say such things.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let me read the next paragraph. I'll put you guys on mute. This is a different font, and this is page 11 of this do line. This is a crazy sort of logic in... No, there is a crazy sort of logic in this, like the smothering of the Smothers Brothers. Is it not fantastical that the Wild West of Bonanza Land should have been the means of retrieving the splendors of ancient Troy from a garbage dump? That the barbarian should bring back the classicist? It is no more fantastical than the rapid stages by which the Western world is embedding itself in the junk of Oriental culture, even as the Orient is wrapping itself in the trash and treasures of the Western world. Turn the page. We have reached, now this is a different font, we have reached the stage already when it is necessary to send our children to the Orient in order to westernize them once more. It was the wild man in quotes, Ezra Pound the wild man. It was the wild man, Ezra Pound, from Haley Berry, Idaho, who descended upon London and Paris in order to, quote, stir the cold breasts of antiquity, unquote, and inject a little entrepreneurial drive into the late 19th century decadence. Oh, look at this. In East Berlin, with his Russian political wrapper, a current grievance joke concerns the great biological breakthrough in Russian biology. Quote, by crossing of glowworms with body lice, the entire population can now read Pravda in bed at night. I will unmute to get the response to that. You like that, East Berlin?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they crossed the glowworms with body lice, and the entire population can now read Pravda in bed at night because their bodies are glowing with lice. It's a joke. In East Berlin, with his Russian political wrapper, a current grievance joke concerns the great biological breakthrough in Russian biology. So this joke is in, this came out in 69, this joke is in Cliched Archetype 2 years later. So we still see, these are new content patterns, but he's still saying the same message and using it, you know, all over the place in his different media, his different books. I don't think an artist could get away with as much repetition as McLuhan does, unless you mean some Mickey Spillane formula quickie book author. Maybe that's repeating something all the time. But McLuhan is really strangely indifferent to the fact he's not trying to be flashy and come up with new designs and things. He's just going along with the same old ideas, but finding new places to apply it.
Yeah.
So he was actually just replaying Joyce.
Yeah, that's
and William
right.
Lewis.
Yeah, he was so lazy. Now, he does say other places that creativity is the biggest cliche. Here's all these kids. They're trained in education to try to be creative in some way, and that's a big ideal. And they wouldn't like Wyndham Lewis and McLuhan saying, your creativity ain't worth shit. Give up trying to be creative. Start noticing the creative process as an environment around you. And that's what Ion's asking. So, I'll carry on here. Same font as the lice joke. It says, radio provided a resonating acoustic environment for the German population of the 20s and 30s, reawakening their old tribal instincts. Aldous Huxley pointed out in The Island, I think that was like his last book, The Island, about a utopia. Aldous Huxley pointed out in The Island that Hitler was, quote, a delinquent Peter Pan, unquote. Now, I'll just remind you that Wyndham Lewis made a big deal out of the term Peter Pan. He might have been the first to use it. but I'm not sure. So McLuhan says, Peter Pan, the little boy who wouldn't grow up because he wanted to keep all his senses open and fresh, is very much an image of the present hippie world. Very much an image of the present hippie in quotes, world. But pastoral Peter Pan, crossed with old 19th century industry, produced great waves of spitting panzers, the Nazis. The wedding of electric software and old industrial hardware is a vicious hang-up for the entire Western world today. Let me read that again. But pastoral Peter Pan, crossed with old 19th century industry, produced great waves of spitting panzers. The wedding of electric software and old industrial hardware is a vicious hang-up for the entire Western world today. In the movie The Graduate, 1968, I remember that. In The Graduate, when Ben returns to the old jet set, a senior member of the tribe dangles a great future before him. Quote, just one word, Ben, plastics, unquote. This word has the effect of alienating Ben forever. Peter Drucker observes in The Age of Discontinuity, quote, yet plastics, technologically, are only the beginning of the new materials technology, and a limited beginning at that. For the plastics are still based on the old idea of one discrete substance that serves as the material, still the old content for the new material media. I don't know if that made sense. For the plastics are still based on the old idea of one discrete substance that serves as the material, still the old content for the new material media. All right, I'll take a break here. Any commentary?
Interesting. Roxana was just talking about the plastic spoon, and next subject was talking about plastic.
Yes. Fine prophecy there, Roxy. Excellent anticipatory intuition on the relevant topics.
Yeah,
like all the time you were talking about the plastics and spoon, that I kept thinking of the this thing I read you from The Graduate, where the old guy tells young Ben, yes, plastics. Just one word, the future, Ben, just one word, plastics. So I'm so conditioned I can be included in Roxy's discoveries about plastic spoons. I've already got a program response to it. Thanks to McLuhan. Covering everything. He wrote about everything, so if you take in McLuhan, you actually have a lot of thoughts about everything. But maybe the disservice is, no matter what is brought up, you're going to think of McLuhan's thought, because he covered everything.
You know, before I am done, I used to worry a lot because I thought, for example, things took a long time to take their place on the earth, like, for example, the oils, petrol.
Yeah.
And then, or for example, metals like copper or other minerals. And then all these things are being taken out of the earth, and I thought that should be affecting somehow this organism. Like, I thought this oil was like the blood of the earth or something like that. And now I understand that things like the chemistries that are in the environment come from somewhere else, which I still don't understand, but it has to do with the frequencies that human creators are somehow producing, and not only with the words, with all their extensions.
So what are you trying to say there? What's your main point?
Yes, that I think most of our generation had this preoccupation with the environment and how the environment is being exploited and destroyed, and that that may not be reversible, that we were creating our doom, and things are said like, to be able to produce as much as we produce, we will need like 30 Earth planets to keep this amount of production or growth of the economy. But I know now that things doesn't work like we think.
Yeah, Ayn's changing your picture of what garbage is.
Yes, so for example, the whole debris of the Twin Towers, this material came actually from a parallel world, and when the Twin Towers fell, they found a ship, a wooden ship under this debris. I mean, this huge building that was powder fell down, melt down, and how come there is a wooden ship underneath? Like, it makes no sense. And then, for example, they're still selling parts of the Berlin Wall because it was all around the city and there were like two. And there was a person who bought everything and he is still selling these pieces of the wall. And, yes, it's like 30 years or how many? I don't know.
25 years.
25. And where is the whole debris of the Twin Towers? And I don't explain it, that they took it to China. And
that's right. They knew what was valuable garbage. They got the best garbage of the end of the 20th century.
Yes, and what we may think is garbage is actually a resource that can be used somehow because it came from a parallel world.
Well, that's what the human interaction, the essence of fallen man, connecting and socializing and gazing mortar, is people are arguing over who's going to take the garbage out and which is the garbage. Then what is garbage? So then the sociologists or the inventors of theories come along and say, well, this notion of garbage dominated because of a hidden environment that altered the perception, determined what the perception of garbage is. And then those formal causes of determining garbage, they became junked. So you have Finney's Wake using God terminology, mythology, Greek mythology for technologies. And they're all fighting each other just like the Greek gods do. So you have civil war among all the garbage environments. Was that too profound for you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so actually we might be able to finish this, but it is there's a lot of stuff said in this thing. Do you guys hear slightly repeating themes, or is the garbage, he's really making a big deal out of the garbage in a new way for what you're used to hearing?
No, I think it's very interesting to discuss this, because what is garbage, what is art, what is a valuable creation. I think if we are like radical, we will say the whole fallen world hologram is garbage, and we have to set it off.
Right.
And there's no problem because it can be remade or reset.
Right.
Now this is new, Bob. This whole how he's presenting garbage, it's new for me. It's interesting to listen to.
Yes.
Interesting, a couple back, we were talking about that large, I wanted to talk about that large piece of electronic, and Ted Carpenter asked the guy what it was and didn't know. He said he was an artist. That's pretty funny. But that's a sign about how garbage, what some people think is garbage, someone can turn it into an art form. So this is sort of really new, because it's relevant now, because everything is obsolete that we've dealt with up until this point with what Ayn and you coming forth. Everything is garbage. everything. I mean, medical, politics, cars, you know.
Little man.
Everything.
Little man is garbage. All to be tossed aside. I am the cosmic garbage man, the cosmic janitor. Yeah, he's very cavalier in dismissing everything. But you read McLuhan, he prepares you to see how we're in a garbage apocalypse.
Yes.
Even on the cultural level. So he's expanding the range of the meaning of garbage. He's basically saying everything is garb. He has garbage, garb-age.
Garbage, yes.
And we're in the garbage. So let's see what he says here. I'll mute you guys. From many points of view, the use of cellophane, for example, as an all-enveloping process has been a commercial package disaster. It is a hot medium, hot in quotes, it is a hot medium repugnant to most of our senses and to most of the substances it envelops. It is a monument to the old print culture which is able to shine through it. The materials revolution, as with any new technology, enabled us to reach out, retrieve, and package the garbage of many other cultures. The effect of any new container on the old content is as drastic as the effect of the miniskirt on femininity. The miniskirt scraps or junks sex. It is garb and garb age in many senses, revealing the rag and bone shop of the human heart as never before. One wag has adapted the words of Robert Fulton about his steamboat to the advantages of the miniskirt. Quote, we don't have to wait for the wind anymore, unquote. I guess that's what Fulton said about his steamboat. But with the miniskirt, you don't have to wait for the wind anymore. These are lines and jokes that were in the Dewline card deck also. One of the most significant episodes in the history of contemporary packaging is that of the good ship Pueblo. Now, we heard a lot about the Pueblo before. It presents the case of one package within another. It started with the latest electric software inside old-fashioned hardware. This unity was subject to the controls of obsolete hierarchies of authority and decision-making, both in the Navy and in Washington. This composite of multiple obsolescence found itself in tribal territory where there are as many lethal implications as with the navigation of space on Star Trek. Upon extrication, this coagulated mass of misery was subjected to the scrutiny of numerous 19th century minds and media. The ostensible purpose, colon, to restore the integrity of a tarnished image. I gotta get a drink of water, so I'll let you guys talk while I go get some water about that. This massive coagulation called the Pueblo.
the garbage in your throat.
Yes, the garbage in my throat. This is making me have garbage.
Yeah. So there were some repeating themes in that you just read, Bob, the Pueblo and the miniskirt.
Right, but he's putting it, he can take these sort of contemporary jokes and fit them to different themes.
Yes.
He uses the same material on different contexts, like making a big deal out of garbage. So he takes all the old material, recycles it, and declares it all garbage.
Yeah.
It's an interesting form of creativity that he's doing.
It started off unique with talking about cellophane wrapping around. It's a monument of the old print culture. That was interesting. Just
that, you, that it shines through. You can see the labeling, the print labeling. and this. All right, so I've only got a bit to read. I know you got to go in a minute, right, Bert, in 15 minutes?
No, I'm okay. I'm okay, Bob. I'm okay for a while.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Usually I would end, but maybe we'll go another hour. We can discuss this, review it in a way, or get on to other stuff, maybe let other people speak. So that was pretty good. This composite of multiple obsolescences found itself on tribal territory where there are as many lethal implications as with the navigation of space on Star Trek. Upon extrication, this coagulated mass of misery was subjected to the scrutiny of numerous 19th century minds and media. The ostensible purpose, to restore the integrity of a tarnished image. One of the effects of American entertainment packaging and PR was strikingly highlighted by Sukarno years ago when he addressed a group of Hollywood tycoons, saying in effect, quote, "Gentlemen," he says this to Hollywood, this Indonesian leader, "Gentlemen, I address you as a group of radical revolutionaries. When my people see your movies, they see ordinary people," ordinary in italics. "They see ordinary people who have cars and ice boxes. They know that they are ordinary people. They want to know why they don't have cars and ice boxes," unquote. It is this kind of packaged information that has created the amazing phenomenon of the cargo cults in backward societies. Fanatic groups of people stand for days on the seashore confidently awaiting the arrival of a great ship sent by the President of the United States. The ship they await is loaded with all the packaged commodities of an affluent society. Then McLuhan ends by saying, "It is affluence that creates poverty, as it is the public that creates privacy. In a tribal society, there is neither privacy nor poverty. When everybody starves at the same rate, there is no poverty. Both affluence and poverty depend upon the packaging revolution. It is thus literally impossible to eradicate poverty amidst increasing affluence. One is the obverse of the other. In accordance with Hertz's law," quote, "the consequences of the images are the image of the consequences. The container corporations of America have struck the set and put the country inside cellophane and plastics and bottles. They also supply a new garbage environment for every highway and city, in short, for our entire society and culture. They make a container corpse out of the whole. The materials and containers revolutions turn the entire urban environment into garbage as the bottles reach the point of no return."